Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you today. I want to welcome all of our friends from Blog Talk Radio, the Omega Radio Network, and Facebook. And because we're putting out a kind of a week of testing to see whether or not Facebook videos are the thing for us or not, if you're out there on Facebook today, I want to welcome you to the broadcast number one. And if this is something that is good, and from your perspective, you're seeing something good. I'm seeing my brother Clarence out there right now saying hello, Clarence Ellis. He's a minister of the gospel out in the area of Virginia. And it's always good to hear from brother Clarence. And so we want to make sure that our video is not hurting us. You know, sometimes you could break a camera, but we want to say good morning in all sincerity and make sure that we're doing the right thing on Facebook. We had 41 views yesterday, which I think was very good. We appreciate that. The idea is to get the platform for what we are doing out into a broader area. We hear the Lord saying to extend the tent pegs, you know, to stretch out the tent pegs, go out into the deep, cast out once again. And so that's what we're doing. We want to make sure that we're doing good. I see Sean's on there and Steve. God bless you all. And thanks for tuning in to the Facebook platform. And again, for those of you that are calling in on Blog Talk Radio or listening to the Omega Radio Network at omegaradio.org, welcome. And today, before I get into the reason number two why you should be prepared now for a coming electrical grid disruption, I want to remind everybody that we're about 26 days away. Probably more like 25 from the great Feast of Tabernacles. The fall feasts are about to begin September 29th, I believe, at the setting of the sun going into September 30th will be Rosh Hashanah. And that is the day of the blowing of the trumpets, which leads to the 10 days of awe. And then on the 10th day of that seventh month will be Yom Kippur, known as the Day of Atonement. It's something that we Christians are looking back to rather than looking forward to. We're looking back at a finished work, and it was the Day of Atonement when Yeshua took his blood to the mercy seat of God in heaven, and therein do we rest and rejoice in our genuine salvation that comes through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And I believe this is a good time to be re-established on the very firm foundation of salvation by grace through faith. I think it's super important in the days that we're living in because it's going to require faith to move forward in the days that we are facing. And I hope that you are having a blessed time in your life, that the purposes of God are being unveiled in you and through you, and that your calling as a Christian on this earth to be a ray of light, to manifest forth the kingdom of God in your sphere of influence, is genuinely taking place. What a journey we are on as Christian men and women. What a journey. And so remember, what we're wanting to do, what we have done for 30 years now, here in Northwest Arkansas for the last 10 years, we are hosting the Feast of Tabernacles. We already have friends that are coming as far as Colorado at this point, and from across the country. We've invited all the way from Australia. Daniel Seckham will be here to minister the Word of God. We're hoping that while we're gathered together, that our overhead projector at our gathering place will afford opportunity for great men and women of faith to join us in the Feast of Tabernacles without having to leave their respective states, that they'll be able to join us. So that is important. We're preparing. We already have received a donation for the tent. And every year that we've been here in Arkansas, we have this glorious tent outdoors. And every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, particularly this year as well, we'll be going out under the tent around 10 a.m. and we'll be having different guest speakers and pastors that will be ministering the Word of God. And every afternoon, right after those meetings, we have a lunch. And I want to direct you to a website. So if you're interested or you think maybe I'd like to venture on out to Northwest Arkansas and partake of a spiritual feast, not an external obligatory feast, but a spiritual feast that has deep spiritual significance and meaning, and I'd like to learn a little bit more about it, go to our website, and here is the address. The address that you could find information about the Feast of Tabernacles this year is www.nwmglobal.org. Now, NWM stands for New Wine Ministry. So if you type in NWMglobal.org, you'll see our webpage. And then you could look under the Feast of Tabernacles tab. And when you get there, you'll be able to see the times, the different speakers, and we're still adding to the list. I've got four other speakers that are waiting right now. We are going to be hosting Daniel Seckham. Pastor Ken Maddox will be with us. Apostle Todd Murner will be with us. Pastor Tony Nichols will be with us. Dr. Scott Buss will be with us. These are men that have really paid the price and have prepared for such an hour as this. The theme, by the way, this year for the Feast of Tabernacles 2019 is the wedding feast. This is all about a bride who has made herself ready and how the feast of the Lord help intrinsically to prepare that bride. Oh, glory to God. I think it's going to be wonderful. It always has been. We've never been disappointed. And we believe that participating in the feast of the Lord is not a religious Old Testament reality, but it's an opportunity to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. And it is intrinsic to our salvation. It is part of what Father God has planned before the foundation of the world. If you consider, once again, that the feasts or the appointed seasons were in God's mind on the fourth day of creation before man ever existed, when he put the sun, moon, and stars for signs and seasons. And that word seasons is the moed, and that literally refers to the appointed celebratory days or the appointed feast days. So I believe that the feast of the Lord were in God's heart and mind before man ever existed, that God would invite his people to celebrate these feasts, for therein is the Trinity of God realized, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Consider the three major feasts. Passover is all about the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Pentecost is all about the Holy Spirit. And there's no doubt that the Feast of Tabernacles is all about the Father, our encounter with God himself, our Father. So the feasts reveal the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They reveal our progression in the kingdom of God, going from glory to glory, faith to faith, strength to strength, as we go from the glory of Passover, our sins are forgiven, to the glory of Pentecost, being sealed and filled with the Holy Spirit, to the glory of Tabernacles, where we have now been prepared to be indwelt by God himself. Oh, it's good. It's the 30-fold, the 60-fold, the 100-fold. We've gone through this so many times. We just, it's there. The patterns, the types, they are all there. The outer court, the inner court, the holy of holies, the realm of faith, hope, and love. The patterns are there. We're going to talk more about it. There are some excellent teachings that are going to come forth out of the Word of God. My favorite book to study during the Feast of Tabernacles is the book of Ephesians. And we have, if you have never read the book, The Feast of Tabernacles by George Warnock, I encourage you to go online, download the book, or read it right online. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. Just type in George Warnock, W-A-R-N-O-C-K, George Warnock, The Feast of Tabernacles. You're going to get an education, if you've never read it before, concerning the Feast of the Lord that so many in the church age have forsaken or kind of just said, well, that's not for us today. That's under the Old Testament. No, these things existed way before man was ever on the earth. God has a purpose for the feast. That's why the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 said to the church at Corinth, let us therefore keep the feast. But he said, let's not do it in an outward way, but an inward way that brings about transformation. They're very powerful. And always remember, never forget, Zechariah chapter 14 is all about keeping the Feast of Tabernacles from year to year during the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. If you believe that one day Yeshua is coming to this earth to bring his governmental power, it's already here in rays of light through certain individuals. I get that, but I'm talking about the full and complete display of the glory of the King Eternal, Immortal, invisible God, the only wise God. I'm talking about Yeshua, Jesus Christ. If you believe he's coming to this earth to set up his kingdom, and he is already going to choose his administration. Five will govern one city, one will govern 10 cities. I mean, he's got it all under his control. Well, during that 1,000 years, Zechariah 14 makes it very clear, at that time, all the families of the earth will come up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Wow, what an amazing thought. So there's a lot to learn, but the most important part about the Feast of Tabernacles is the fellowship. When we begin to meet people and we cross denominational lines and we cross boundaries from our creeds and our doctrinal influences, and we gather together as true believers at the cross of Jesus Christ, that's the rallying place. Doctrine is not the rallying place. Theology, end-time eschatology, that is not the rallying place of the body of Christ, the bone of his bone and the flesh of his flesh. The rallying place for all true believers is at the cross, for it's at the cross that you and I have something in common. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and at the cross, our sins are forgiven. The shedding of the blood, the atoning blood of Yeshua, is our salvation. And it's there that we can gather together. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins? That he was buried and on the third day he rose from the grave? Do you believe that after his resurrection, when he came forth out of the grave holding the keys of hell and death, do you believe that he was on the earth for 40 days? And he was talking to the disciples about things concerning the kingdom of God. That's what it says in Acts chapter 1. And do you believe after those 40 days that he ascended before 500 witnesses, above 500 witnesses, and they saw him go up in a cloud? Do you believe that he received a kingdom according to Daniel chapter 7 when that very cloud of witnesses took him to the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7, 13 and 14? And he received a kingdom, a dominion, an authority that will never pass away, will never be defeated, will never come to an end. And that he is presently at the right hand of God in heaven, making intercession as the high priest of our faith. And he's praying for us. And he is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool for him. If you believe these things, we have something in common. We are talking about the same Lord Jesus Christ, not some new age metaphysical Jesus that's all about consciousness. No, we're talking about the very real only begotten Son of the Father who came to this earth, took on a mortal body, and was slaughtered as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins and everything else that we just mentioned and so much more that we know about Jesus. Well, we gather around him. We gather around the cross. That is the very power of God. The cross is what unites every true believer. And unfortunately, we get ourselves divided from one another when we get into all the different eschatological views, who's right, who's wrong, because what happens, we may originally begin to really want to instruct people in the way of righteousness and show them the word of God, what it really says, that they don't entertain fables or fairy tales, but then we become so dogmatic that we just now are espousing our understanding and doctrine just for the sake of doing it so that we're right, showing that we have some more understanding. And that's a spirit of pride that should be avoided. But the fact of the matter is, there is a genuine faith. It's all rooted at the blood. That's why we can gather together. It doesn't matter what church you go to. There's only one church. There's only one baptism. There's only one spirit. There's only one God. There's only one spirit. There's only one faith. There's only one. And you and I belong to that one. If we are truly born again, we have been set as members in the body of Christ to function. Each one of us have our own gift and calling. Each one of us are working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Each one of us are becoming the overcomers that God has called us to be. We are in a journey, and on this earth, with the things that are coming down the pike and already exist, it is imperative that our faith has compelled us into the love of Christ for the body of Christ, and that when we sit down and break bread, like at a Feast of Tabernacles, we could open the Word of God. And what a time to spend 8 full days having questions answered, bringing up concepts and ideas, and going down into the deep meat of the Word of God, not just in a conference setting, but sitting around the fire and enjoying a conversation with several individuals and just breaking bread. This is God's intention for the Feast of Tabernacles, that we would break away from all the stuff going on in our lives and around the world and gather together. 3 times in the year, God told his people Israel, gather together. And he chose a particular spot. They would leave during Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, which was the spring feast. Then they would gather together in the summer feast of Shavuot, which we call Pentecost. And then they would gather together at the end of the year for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles. But these were celebrations. And unfortunately, we've been reading a prophecy in the book of Amos about a time when the economy of Israel, representing the church in type and shadow, that it was so grossly mismanaged and so grossly had misconducted itself before the King of Glory, that God warned that they would have lamentation and mourning during their feast days that are supposed to be celebratory. So the call is to prepare our hearts to gather together to be with the Lord. And in the economy of Israel, when they blew the trumpets on the first day of the 7th month, which was the day of trumpets, okay, Rosh Hashanah, well, they in the rabbinical teaching would have 10 days of awe where they would have introspection and examination of their heart because they knew they were going to court. They were going to court and their hearts would be examined. And when we take the time to examine ourselves to see whether or not we are in the faith or whether or not our hearts have been right before God or not right, we allow the Holy Spirit to shine the light of the gospel on us. We are exposed before the light of God. We go to court. There is an adversary, and he's there railing accusations and judgments and criticisms and all of that stuff. Some of it is very true. But when the Spirit of God reveals it, that's our opportunity to make a decision. Do I want to change this part of my life? Do I want to confess this sin? Do I want to get rid of this stuff in my life? It's a heart issue. And when we find a tender heart, a submitted heart, a yielded heart that can confess sin and have a willingness to repent from sin, well, after those 10 days came the big day, Yom Kippur, the atonement. And for those who have examined themselves and found themselves short, well, the blood of the Lamb pays that price, cleanses their sin. Now, this was done 2,000 years ago. Don't get me wrong. I understand this was done 2,000 years ago when Yeshua took his blood to the mercy seat in heaven. And I get that. But every once in a while, it's a good thing to examine ourselves. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian church, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. There's nothing wrong with introspection, self-examination, especially when we're going to that great day where the decision is made. And again, in rabbinical teaching, which we don't give too much credence to, rabbis have been wrong before. I mean, they did kill Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, they took him to the cross. So we don't put too much credence, but there are some very good rabbinical teachings along the way. And so what they say is on that 10th day, that's when those 10 days of going to court, now the judge makes a decision. And the decision that he makes is who's going to live another year, who's going to live, who's going to die, who's going to be blessed, and who's going to suffer. I mean, it's almost like an advanced understanding, a judgment for good or not good. And so we find this to be a very healthy time. Again, not trying to go back to Judaism, not going back under the law, none of that. We believe that the feast of the Lord and the Sabbath of the Lord and the tithes and the offerings and the, you know, all of these things existed before there was ever a law. And God said, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And there's plenty of evidence to show that the things that God started before there was ever a law will continue to exist. Even though they were preserved within the law, they have come out in the dispensation of grace through Jesus Christ. And there are still things that we can enjoy. I mean, it's enjoyable to keep a Sabbath day, is it not, to just rest and spend time with God and settle down? Yes, there is an eternal Sabbath rest. There is a rest that remains for the people of God in Hebrews chapter 4. But daily, you know, we work 6 days, we're out there laboring, doing what we do. Well, what a time to just repose and give our bodies an opportunity to rest. There's nothing wrong with that and all the rest of those issues, which we get into during the Feast of Tabernacles. But what's really cool is that during the feast, we have so many different vessels that God is raising up to share, but then to give the body of Christ opportunity to just sit down and talk about it. I absolutely love the Feast of Tabernacles. And I believe that in the economy of God, in the agricultural economy of the Old Testament, that the year begins with Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And the year in the agricultural economy ends with tabernacles. You should be reaping a massive harvest. These last 4 months since Pentecost, your fields ought to have been ripe. You ought to have been harvesting spiritual fruit. Every kind of seed that you have sown, you ought to be reaping a crop, a harvest. And I love that God is able to increase and multiply the fruits of our righteousness according to the word of God in the new covenant as well. So again, we'll talk more about that. And I just wanted to remind you, the Feast of Tabernacles. Get in your car, drive to Northwest Arkansas, get on a plane, come on in. There's hotels everywhere in Northwest Arkansas. We would love to greet you and have you to be a part of what we're doing here in the Northwest region of the state of Arkansas. Okay, if you can't, well, we're going to try to live stream the evening sessions. You know, every day we're under the tent on some property that we have, but every evening we're back at the ministry center, and hopefully we'll be able to live stream the speakers that will be there ministering the word of God. That would be wonderful. If we get that going, we'll make sure to let you know. That'll be on our website. Again, one more time, let me give you the information. NWM, which stands for New Wine Ministry, NWM, global.org. There is a Feast of Tabernacle tab, and it will give you all the information that you need. There's also directions and times and dates and all of that. So everything is about faith. You see, the good news is that you are saved and I'm saved by grace through faith. The most powerful thing that the Apostle Peter told us in the last days that was going to be more precious than gold, though it be tried in the fire, is going to be our faith. And what is imperative for you and I right now is to really grow and allow our faith to flourish. And that faith, if it's properly aligned with the purpose of God, is going to create an inward environment of liberty, of holiness, of purity, of a clean conscience before God, because our faith is going to apprehend what Christ has done for us, what we could not do for ourselves. If we could do for ourselves what God requires, he would never have sent his son to the cross. You and I are helpless. We are hopeless in our own strength. The best of the human race has no ability to appease the wrath of God against sinners, but only the blood and the finished work of what Jesus did can a man or woman be saved. I believe that with all of my heart. I do not have enough good works to satisfy the wrath of God, and neither do you, neither does the human race collectively. We have sinned grossly, and the original sin of Adam is in our DNA. So we are born cute little babies, but we're born in sin. But we're born again when we receive the atonement and we begin a brand new life in Jesus Christ. And this is a journey of faith. Again, good works issue forth out of salvation. We are not saved by works. We're saved by grace, the unmerited favor of God, the divine influence upon the heart that is reflected in the life. And when you and I receive the atonement that Jesus paid the price for our sin, I mean, my goodness, that means whatever you have done that brings guilt, shame, condemnation into your mind, it's over. It's been eradicated, obliterated on the cross. But your faith must apprehend that. Your faith must grasp that. You must know that that blood has been applied to your conscience, so that the devil can't continue to accuse you of what you've done or what you do or what you're going to do. You and I stay in the grace of God. And yet within that grace, we have received an ability to really become all that God has called us to be. Those who believed, he gave power to become the sons of God. What power? The Holy Spirit. So we are forgiven. We're ever going to be forgiven. But shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We are putting off the old man, putting on the new man. We are to walk in newness of life. I mean, there's no doubt about this, but it's not legalism. It is the greatest news on the face of the earth. Can I share a secret with you? That the good news is not that we're not under the law. A lot of people think the good news of the gospel is that we're not under the law anymore. That's not the truth. Read the book of Galatians. The Apostle Paul went into painstaking task of telling and sharing what the good news really was. It wasn't that you're not under the law. The good news is that we have received something greater than the law that is able to produce what the law could never produce. Think about it. The writer of Hebrews said that the law could bring nothing to perfection. Not even the conscience, not the conduct, the character, the spiritual inward life. The law could bring nothing to perfection. But the grace of God is the ability of God to bring us to the intended purpose of God, which is what? Oh, little children, in whom I travail again until Christ be formed in you. The good news is that through the cross of Jesus Christ and the gospel, the power of God is available to whosoever will, that would allow the power of the gospel to raise us up out of the dysfunction and the insufficiency of our humanity into God's eternal purpose. I mean, becoming new creations in Christ Jesus. I'm all in, and I can't do it. But my faith in what God has done, my faith in the power of Christ, my faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, my faith enables me to continue to believe and have hope that the areas of my life that are not yet cleaned up before the Lord are perfected. As I continue on in the faith, I know that there is a work in me that is greater than my own flesh. The law was not greater than my flesh, but the grace of God is greater, and it's not there. The grace of God was never designed to keep us in our broken, sinful condition. The grace of God was designed by God to raise us up and out of the human nature, the Adamic human nature. And that's why Peter says that we have become partakers of the divine nature. And so as divine natured men and women of God, we this, and by the way, this is God's strategy for the last days. that we who put on this and we who walk according to this rule, that circumcision does not matter, uncircumcision does not matter, but a new creation, like Paul said in Galatians, all of us who walk according to that rule, peace be upon you. And that peace, by the way, is the only true peace and the peace that we are going to need when it comes to living in these last days. Good morning, Patricia Joy. Xavier, how are you doing? Come on in. Let me give you the camera. You look more beautiful than I. Go
no,
for it.
You are beautiful too. We're all beautiful in the Lord. And you may be saying, oh gosh, but it's true.
Yeah.
But the Spirit of God moving through individuals is the most incredible thing ever. And about the Feast of Tabernacles represents the completion of all things in Yahweh, in Yeshua, and in the Holy Spirit. This gathering together is going to be the most meaningful gathering that the Feast of Tabernacles has ever experienced in itself. And the bride is going to be represented there, and the manifested sons of God and the King of Glory is going to be represented there. And it's the story of a complete redemption. And the Lord is calling us to this feast. He's beckoning us on to come and to celebrate with him. And folks, it may be the last on this earth until the millennium is established by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will again be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles for 1,000 years, meaning the millennium, when the kingdom of God is established on earth and on earth. Remember, and on earth, not in heaven. Heaven will come to earth. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And from the beginning of time till now, you are celebrating the whole manifestation of the sons of God and our King of Glory from the very, very on-go. And I'll tell you what, the remnant will be there. I'm inviting everyone that is listening from all over the world, but the remnant of God will be there to celebrate. And if it is in your area that there is a Feast of Tabernacles being celebrated, go.
Amen.
And if it is not represented by the whole picture, not just the Old Testament, but the Old and the New, don't go. It is a fulfillment of all things.
Amen. Amen. And you said it. It's about the remnant, and there are Feast of Tabernacle gatherings going to be taking place all over the world. I want to just remind our friends that are out there in Facebook land, if you wouldn't mind, while you're watching the video, get on the Blog Talk Radio, which means just if you got your phone and you dialed 818-369-0326, when callers call in, you could be listening to the conversation right now as Facebook is. If somebody calls in, and we have a lot of people listening right now on their phones, and they like to call in, and we want to make sure that they do that. And so as you're watching, if you could also just dial that number, 818-369-0326, join the broadcast, and you will be able to listen to whatever conversation and also call in as well. And so we want to remind, and again, our boards are pretty well filled up on the Blog Talk Radio. So welcome everybody on Blog Talk Radio. And if you have a question or comment, make sure you call in. Again, the number is 818-369-0326. Now, Patricia, before we go any further, what I would like to do is basically, I want to get into the second reason why people should be prepared for an electrical grid outage. But before I get there, is there something special on your heart that you wanted to share outside of the Feast of Tabernacles that is coming up? Was there something you wanted to get into?
Well, one of the reasons that I felt that last year, I believe there would not be another celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles is because I believed that there would be an EMP strike prior to its happening. That would stop everything from continuing on. With that event, we enter into the tribulation. And we are there. Everything is prepared. Everything is ready for the great tribulation. That's why we are crying out with all our heart, soul, and mind that you get prepared spiritually, mentally, physically, in every way. Get prepared. Your faith must be unmovable. You must understand that the Lord Jesus Christ paid a price for everything you have ever done wrong in your life. You're a free agent now to celebrate and to believe in your Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Give it everything you have. Believe in him entirely. He's going to bring us through. He is the great I am. And he knows everything happening to us in every manner and way. In fact, he is allowing it because of our grave sin against the righteousness of who he is. So please be prepared, be ready. The time is now. Listen into these programs. And I'm going to ask you to please support us so we could go further. There's so many things we do want to do. There are so many things that could be done. We could use technology now like never before. Let us not give it over only to evil. Let us use the airwaves for the righteousness of God, for good, for power, for might, and for being the overcomer blessings of God that we should be. We are soldiers in his army.
Well, amen. And end time soldiers, we need to be equipped and prepared for the things coming down the pike. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking to myself that I can envision on this earth, around the world, in this generation, all of God's real children raising up a shout, raising up a worship, raising up a praise, filling the atmosphere with worship to the King of Glory, transcending politics and sports and all the different things from media and television, that there would be a cry in the heart of God's people for the Spirit and the Bride. Say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Dear Christian friend, do you still want to continue to live in this sin-sick world in its present condition, knowing it's not getting any better? That the Bible is very clear that in the last days, evil men will wax worse and worse. It's not getting better. Laws have been established to offend Almighty God. Things are happening all over the world where much pain, difficulty, sorrow are taking place everywhere. But would to God that the ecclesia, the church, the called out ones would find that shout, that glory praise, that affection, that a desire for the King to come. For again, the Spirit and the Bride say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it be awesome to find that, for people to say, I'm not looking for my best life now in this world. No, but I'm surrendering my life in this world. I'm giving up my life in this world to get my heart prepared for the King of Glory that will inhabit me throughout eternity to become a habitation and dwelling place. I just saw that. And I can imagine that before the Lord comes, there are very plain and clear scriptures that certain things must be fulfilled. And again, we don't want to get into the doctrinal issues and the battles, but there is pure doctrine on this issue. And ladies and gentlemen, the prophetic word of the Lord to our generation is that we are ripe for sin. I mean, for judgment because of our sin. Think about it. Think about our nation. We are ripe for judgment because we have sinned grievously against the Lord. We have literally perverted the grace of God, and we were warned against doing that. Amen. This glorious grace that God has given us was not for the twisting or perverting of it.
That's right.
Or taking it lightly. This grace was paid for in blood, and we and our lawmakers and our politicians and legislators and judiciary branches of government and Hollywood and on down the list. Now, I could stop for just a moment and say, okay, but what about that Bears game the other night when the born-again, Spirit-filled, Jesus-loving young kicker for the Bears with 1 second left on the clock put it through the polls and everybody's talking about it. And what is he doing? He's giving glory to God and glory to Jesus Christ. We rejoice. We weep. We say, thank you, God. You have witnesses everywhere with a testimony of your faithfulness. But that does not exclude the reality of what just happened in the Bahamas, what just happened in El Paso, Texas, What happened with the raging fires in California a year and a half ago? What happened in Houston? What happened in Florida? What happened along the southeastern seaboard of the United States? What happened to Puerto Rico? What happened in Parkland, Florida? What happened in Odessa, Texas? And we could go on down the list of the tragedies that we are facing as a nation. And the prophetic trumpet of God is warning our nation that you are ripe. That's what Amos chapter 8 is all about. You are ripe for judgment, and I'm not passing you by anymore. And that does not mean that we're presenting a picture of God as a wrathful, judgmental God, but God is a God of wrath and judgment. The book of Revelation tells us that he's going to pour his wrath out in the seven vials, and that judgment, he loves judgment and justice. Ladies and gentlemen, Church of Jesus Christ, put on your holy garments, put on your faith. Do not be spotted by this world. True religion is visiting the widow and the orphan and keeping ourselves unspotted from the world in which we live.
It may sound harsh to you to hear that he loves judgment, but judgment is for a purpose and for a reason. It's to bring justice, justice to all, those who do and do not deserve. You see, it is the perfect work. We used to set up our courts of laws in this manner. We represented the Lord in every way. That's why we were such a blessed country and so absolutely gained in every kind of respect and honor throughout the nations. But now it's different. We have done things that are appalling to any situation at any time in the world. Not only the way it was in Hitler's day, but it continues in murder and the shedding of blood of innocent children crying out from the ground. Their blood has been slaughtered. In the abominations of homosexuality and lesbianism, not even giving grant to why male and female were created in the first place to create. It is not even considering the idea if it continued on, there would be no human beings left on this earth, because they could not create in that manner. It is totally an abomination and wrong. So it has been done, and much more than that, pedophilia and all of the filthiness from high government individuals. So the time is now. We have entered into the beginning of the tribulation, and for those in the world who will not repent from the ways they have gone and destruction within their ideas and life in the way they handle things, there is going to be justice. And there's going to be justice for us too. And that would be, the Lord says, God Almighty says, I came to give life and life more abundantly. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, what I have in store for those who love me. The restoration of all things is at hand, to restore to greatness and good. And it is now. It is now that we will shortly, in a number of short years, enter into the millennium by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that is what the Feast of Tabernacles will represent.
Well, amen, and well said, Patricia Joy. There's an article right now coming out of California, give you an example of what we're talking about. And again, faith is necessary for everything we're doing. But judgment, you know, three times in the New Testament, there's three different Greek words that are employed for judgment. They all mean basically to separate. And one of them is crises, where we get the word crises. And we look at our nation and we say, are we in a crisis? Well, listen to this article right now. The California Senate passes resolution telling pastors to embrace LGBTQ beliefs. California Senate passed a resolution telling Christian clergy to accept and support LGBTQ ideology, even if doing so violates their Christian beliefs. The Assembly Concurrent Resolution 99, which is the ACR 99, was introduced by Democratic State Assemblyman Evan Lowe of San Jose on June 4th as a way to gather support for LGBTQ identity and behaviors. CBN News previously reported that more than two dozen doctors, counselors, former homosexuals, and other Christian leaders signed a letter condemning the resolution, which they said violates religious freedom. The resolution also condemns counseling for unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion, known as conversion therapy. The bill says California law recognizes that performing conversion therapy on young persons is ineffective, unethical, and harmful. Conversion therapy has been rejected as has been rejected as ineffective, unethical, and harmful by leading medical, mental health, and child welfare organizations in the United States. Several Christian leaders are speaking out against the resolution, saying it infringes upon their free exercise of religion. And so I'm going to just refrain from reading any more of this, but this is what's happening in the world. So what is that? When God in justice, when God in judgment condemned, literally overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, our legislative branch of government today, our judiciary, the world, the country that we live in today, are promoting it. They're doctoring it up. They're putting makeup on homosexuality and lesbianism. They're making it tolerable and acceptable and something good and right. And if you don't go along with it, then you're the hater. You're the bigot. You're the one that has a problem. And yet God's word says in the New Testament, twice in Peter and Jude, that anybody that follows the example of Sodom and Gomorrah will reap the same reward that they did. How can we be so ignorant in the church to be living with our heads buried in the sand somehow, ignoring all of the prophetic signs that are going on around us? Patricia, it's absolutely amazing. And there are some major events that are about to unfold, particularly reason number two, why you should be prepared now for coming electrical grid disruptions. Is it possible that the prophecy in Amos chapter 8 is warning us that God will darken the earth in the clear day? The only thing I know that will darken the earth in the clear day would be a CME, a coronal mass ejection, which God could use as a solar flare from the sun that will burn up our electrical grid, or a terrorist attack with an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse, that could take out the entire electrical grid. And what would happen if the United States of America was plunged into darkness because of an EMP or a CME that has something to do with the word of God in this Amos prophecy? We're going to talk more about reason number two, Patricia, but first, your thoughts.
Well, homosexuality is an abomination unto the Lord. And if you don't believe me, read scripture. It's clear in scripture. Go to Romans 1, read the chapter. That's only part of some of the scripture regarding homosexuality. It is an abomination to God. In fact, it's an abomination of desolation. And why do I use the word desolation? Because again, using this analogy, if all cows were homosexual, we would have no more cows, would we? Nothing to eat as far as beef is concerned. Well, the truth is the same for humanity. We were created to bring forth babies, children into this earth. That was the reason for creation in the first place with Adam and Eve. So you see, we're going against the natural laws of life and liberty, and we are engulfing ourselves in the most unbelievable filth and uncleanness. And it's getting worse and worse and worse, and it's going to continue to. But we have the light. Let us move up in the light. Let us gather together at the Feast of Tabernacles. I'll tell you what, we are getting an invitation, and God tells us that we have a special appointment with him at the Feast of Tabernacles, a unique invitation to a personal meeting with him.
That's what it is.
Do you want that personal meeting with him? It'll be within each and every one of us gathering together in his name. He's going to speak to us clearly and loudly. There will be miracles. There'll be workings of enormous understanding and revelation to the glory of himself. We will be kept in the palm of his hand, safe and led by the Holy Spirit. It's incredible.
Well, amen to that, Patricia. And getting back to the homosexual issue just for a moment, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that such were some of you. We need to make it clear not to water down the potency of the message of condemnation against this particular sinful activity. But the fact of the matter is the individuals that are in the lifestyle have opportunity, as long as they're breathing, to confess their sin of homosexuality or sexual perversion at any in any degree and receive the merciful blood of Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven. But if we continue in a world that is promoting it, making it acceptable, making it tolerable, rather than as grotesque as it really is, which makes it more difficult for people to come out of the lifestyle. But there is salvation for this sin as well. And we would pray for those that are caught in the lifestyle to be delivered, set free. Now, why should you be prepared right now for coming electrical grid disruptions? Is it possible? I want to ask you this question. Is it possible that the lights can go out in a world that is offending God when God's word says in Amos chapter 8, he will darken the earth in the clear day, suddenly, without warning? Well, the gentleman who wrote this information, I shared this nearly 4 or 5 years ago, and I went through detail, and he was thinking that this event may have happened during the 2016 elections. But it looks like the potential for this event to happen may be coming more like the 2020 elections. Reason number two, yesterday we talked about reason number one, about the outdated, antiquated electrical grid. But what about the new and more dangerous terrorist attacks on the grid? Whether it's a physical attack, either at the source of power generation or somewhere along its transmission route, or it's a cyber attack on the computers controlling our interconnected grid, or even if it's something as bad as an electromagnetic pulse weapon, a terrorist attack could create long-lasting damage that would incapacitate electrical systems across the country and forever change our way of life. Now, Patricia, because of our limited time right now, I'm going to save this for probably Thursday. I'm going to get into this because it needs more time and I don't want to rush. The fact of the matter is nobody wants to really contemplate or consider no electricity. We had 2 days of no electricity because of a storm. And it was hard.
It was harder than I thought it would
it was,
be.
It was hard.
It really was.
It was. If we didn't have a generator, we would have lost some very valuable food in our freezer. If we didn't have a generator, I mean, it was hot. There was no air conditioning. And yet we were blessed because the water continued to run. We were able to wash our face and take a shower.
But we weren't sure that was going to be.
Right. But in this lights out scenario of the electrical grid that men like Peter Vincent Pry talk about from a security standpoint of view, it's a very real threat. And this country is not ready for this. I don't think anybody. I think maybe third world countries are more prepared to go through this moment than we are.
They know how.
But we are a people in America that if God really wanted to judge us, I mean, he could employ any weapon he wants to. He could send a comet from space if he wanted to. He could send an asteroid, right? I mean, God has plenty of weapons. He could raise up the Assyrians. He could raise up the Nation of Islam. He could do anything. Raise up the Russians, the Chinese. Why? Because judgment begins in the house of God. We know better. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not communist America. We are the United States of America, a Christian country. We know better. That's a fact. That is a fact. And therefore, we will get beaten with more stripes. Those that don't know any better will get beaten with less stripes. That's clear. But could one of the great stripes right now be a great big log? Last week, we talked about the kindling of all these events, preparing for the great logs of judgment put on the fire. An electromagnetic pulse, a lights out scenario, suddenly plunged into darkness, no cell phones, no banking centers, no grocery stores. Violence will erupt like we saw in Katrina. God has been showing us things and telling us, I'm sending judgment to separate you from your sin, America. And now we ask, is our repentance quick enough? And Patricia, by every standard I see, and we look at through the biblical lens, it is not. I mean, Josiah was able to delay the judgment, but he went on a revolutionary journey throughout the nation, turning it upside down for God, for Yahweh. But But this delay, we're still murdering babies, we're still promoting things, our television screens are still filled with blasphemy and idolatry. It's tough.
It is tough, but we have one more day to get it right.
Yeah,
and
for you and I.
Can happen now. If you're really listening carefully to what we're saying, it's not a joke. If you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm asking you to do that very thing. And by the way, the calls should start coming in. If any of you that are on the Blog Talk Radio,
mm-hmm.
Radio, I see some of you have gone off the air. Please, if you have something to say, enter in as you did in the past. Let's hear you.
Amen. The number to call, 818-369-0326. Now, for those on Facebook, right now, if you would just dial that number, 818-369-0326, you would be able to hear what this caller is about to say. And I'm going to put my headphones on. We've got a few minutes left in the broadcast. So let's go ahead and take this first call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes. I was down in Sioux Falls, South Dakota yesterday. My husband and I, and the tornadoes that went through, the devastation is very bad for the people, their homes, the businesses, and they have, the Sioux River is there, and it has taken over the farmland where it runs through, like it's unbelievable. And as we are driving the 100 miles to get back home to where we live, it is so eerie feeling about it. And I said to my husband, I said, the judgment has fell in this area. And this is just a warning like you're bringing out. And God is trying, and you know, people are saying, oh, pray for us now, pray for us. We've lost everything. Wow, well, that's just material things they've lost. But they're opening up now to What do we do? Because we were with a group of people, and it was unbelievable, these people, how open they were to God at this time.
Well, Kathy, you're telling me right now that a massive tornado went through one of the cities in South Dakota. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. There was three in one night, and it started at 11 o'clock, and the sirens did not go off. So therefore, the people didn't know what's happening, so the roofs were blowing off their houses, and thank God nobody was killed. So
wow.
That is another miracle. And
yeah.
Oh, it's bad. I mean, financially, it's going to be a tough, tough time coming up, and people
don't have
insurance, some of them.
Okay, so you actually went to South Dakota or Sioux Falls, and you saw the devastation that happened by that tornado, or those three tornadoes?
We saw it with our own eyes yesterday.
With your own eyes. My God. And it's pretty well destroyed.
Well, parts of the city are, and it's right down the main streets of, I call it the main artery, 41st Street. If you would have been out in your car at 11 o'clock, the way the signs fell off, you could have been struck by it and not been here today.
Wow. All right, so another calamity coming out of South Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, another calamity, and we're seeing them. And again, what this does, it's not allow us to boast. And thank you for that call, Kathy. We're just 90 seconds away from getting off the air right now. What it is another sign of the times. And that is not a reason for us to get panicked and fearful. Remember, we are called to walk in faith right now. Strong, vibrant, flourishing, powerful faith is what God is really after in your life and in my life. And this faith is going to enable us to access all the promises of God for our protection. We're going to walk in the bounty and the blessing and the light of his glory. We are going to be protected on every side. What's happening in the world today is very real. It's very real. It's not a mistake. It's not make-believe. It's not something you said, oh, this has always happened before. We have never globally witnessed what we are witnessing right now. And we are concerned, genuinely concerned, that while all this kindling is going on with these events, that there's a massive log that is about to be put on the fire. An event in the United States of America that is going to be utilized to separate God's people from those who are not, or to separate God's people from their own sin. We're going to talk more about it tomorrow. I'll have Daniel Seckham with us on the air from Australia. We've got to go. It's been good seeing you. Thanks for everybody tuning in on Facebook. I think we found a way to get everyone to hear our callers on Blog Talk Radio. Right now, go to Omega Radio. Go to omegaradio.org, and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right up right now, Patricia Joy Xavier is with her roundtable discussion on deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Until we meet again, shalom and God bless. Goodbye, everybody on Facebook, and goodbye, everybody in Blog Talk Radio Land and Omega Radio. Shalom.